Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration today is written in the book of Acts in the third chapter, verses 11 to 21. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we've made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. In his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So far the text. In the name of our risen Redeemer, Jesus, dearly beloved of God, did you enjoy a bountiful Easter meal last Sunday? Now, one of the side blessings of holidays like Easter is joining with friends and family in partaking of ample amounts of mouth-watering food. And then there are the leftovers to enjoy after the holiday. Remnants of the ham or beef roast or extra Easter eggs to crack open and enjoy, sprinkled with salt and pepper. Tasty desserts. Kids, of course, they love to enjoy the remains of the Easter candy. Now, that being said, it's also true, is it not, that the remnants of Easter dinner are generally speaking not quite as good as the day of originals, the warmed over meat not as delectable, side dishes not quite as tasty as when they're fresh out of the crock pot. Sometimes one may even need to dispose of leftovers because they're no longer edible because of becoming stale or even spoiled. But how different with the lavish meal that our God prepared for us on Easter Day for our soul's consumption. The joy of his being raised for our justification after having been delivered up for our offenses, that joy does not diminish with the passing of a day on the calendar. The meal he provided for our soul's nourishment, the comfort and peace of the message of Easter Sunday, is still being served for our highest a blessing. And we'll see how this is true this morning as we consider a text from the Bible book of Acts and the story that the Holy Spirit recorded for us there under the theme, The Sumptuous Easter Feast Continues. Now, the background for this particular text from Acts, the time and place where it happened, and the circumstances that precipitated what we read here are as follows. Christ's resurrection is about maybe 2 months in the past. His ascension has happened. His promised sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost has occurred. And it was not long after that event of the sending of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost that the disciples Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, which was 3 p.m. And as they approached the door into the temple grounds, the door that was called the Beautiful Gate, they observed a man sitting there who had been born lame, apparently carried there by friends or family, and asking people who walked into the temple courts for an alms, for a donation. It was his regular custom because he didn't have any other way to provide for himself. And looking at Peter when he and John went through that temple door, Peter looked right at him and said, "Look up at us." And the man, you can imagine his face was kind of down. He looked up and right into the face of Peter, and Peter said to him, "I don't have any money to give you, but what I have, I'm going to share. In the name of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, get up and start walking." And then he took him by the right hand, helped him stand. His feet and ankles suddenly started coursing with strength, and he jumped up and started walking for the very first time. And then he accompanied Peter and John into the temple, jumping and praising God. And then we get to our text. We read how, as this man was holding on to Peter, probably hugging him, and people hurrying over to get a look, astounded, seeing this man whom they'd seen at the temple beautiful gate for years, begging for alms countless times, wondering how in the world Peter took a position in Solomon's portico, which was a covered colonnade situated on the east side of the temple grounds, and he delivered a grand Easter message. I'd like to repeat a portion of it for you, as we read in our text. "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this and stare at us as though by our power or piety we made the lame man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered to be crucified and denied in the presence of Governor Pilate when he had decided to let him go. But you denied the holy and the righteous one, and you asked for a murderer, Barabbas, to be released instead, and you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we're witnesses of it. We've seen Jesus alive, and it is by the power of the risen Savior's name that this man whom you see and know has been made strong and restored to soundness of health." Friends, that's basically the message, same message of Peter on that day, the message that we hear as often as the Easter gospel is preached. The good news of Jesus' life and death and resurrection for our salvation, which he has used to restore our souls to perfect spiritual health, which is a beautiful fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah wrote some, 800 years earlier. Beautiful section from Isaiah chapter 40. You've probably heard this pretty familiar section. Beautiful. "The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint." That's a description of the spiritual vitality and vigor and energy the Lord gives to his people through the Easter gospel. The message Jesus proclaimed to his apostles on Easter night, as we heard, when he appeared to them behind the closed doors And then 8 days later, with Doubting Thomas being present, when he said, actually repeated it three times, twice on Easter night, and then to Thomas and the whole group a week later, when he said, "Peace be to you." Spiritual peace, to substantiate for them, to verify and confirm three all-important heavenly truths for their soul's comfort and their nourishment, that your sins have been blotted out through faith in my name. I have removed from you the sting of death, and I have crushed the serpent's head so that he poses no threat to you anymore. And have you ever noticed in your reading of the Bible, study of it, how the Lord frequently pictures these blessings to us, which he serves up for our soul's comfort and strengthening as a feast or a dinner or a great supper or a banquet? Few examples, back to Isaiah the prophet in chapter 25, where he wrote, "O Lord, you are my God, I will exalt you, I will praise your name, for you've done wonderful things. You will make for all peoples a feast of rich food and the best of meats and the finest of wines." David in Psalm 63, "O God, my soul thirsts for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods." Jesus in several parables, one of them where he said, "A certain man prepared a great banquet and invited many guests and then sent out a servant to tell the invitees, 'Come, for all things are now ready.'" And who can forget the shepherd, Psalm 23, where King David wrote, "You prepare a what before me in the presence of my enemies? A table furnished with delectable food for the soul in the gospel of the Savior." I believe the Lord used these pictures so frequently because he knows that we can relate, and we know what it's like to have our physical appetites satisfied by a delicious smorgasbord of choice foods and drinks, and afterwards retire to the living room or the TV room to relax and visit, thinking to ourselves, "Oh, wasn't that great?" And so the blessings of his gospel serve that purpose for our soul's highest good. They satisfy our deepest spiritual need, assuring us, as mentioned, our sins have been blotted out through the blood of Christ, crucified and risen. Death's sting has been removed and the devil divested of his power so that he can harm us no more. And also a great characteristic of this meal the Savior has prepared for our soul's delight is that the portions never run out, as may happen with items on the Easter menu at home. "Sorry, dear, no more apple pie left. Uncle George took the last piece." It's not the case with the Lord's sumptuous Easter feast. Its supply is endless. And let's be reminded also of the Lord's goodness on this Sunday of the calendar, or the month, first Sunday, of the Lord providing a delicious, sumptuous banquet for the soul in the Lord's Supper. Maybe notice that also in many of our communion hymns, the same imagery is used of a feast. "Lord Jesus Christ, you have prepared a feast for our salvation. It is thy body and thy blood, and at thy invitation, as weary souls with sin oppressed, we come to thee for needed rest, for comfort, and for pardon." Or in another of our hymns, "He who his saints in this world rules and shields, to all believers life eternal yields, with heavenly bread makes the hungry whole, and he gives living water to the thirsting soul." And one more, this feast is manna, wealth abounding, unto the poor, to weak ones power, to angels joy, to hell confounding, and life for us in death's dark hour. the blessings we receive, the nourishment for the soul through the receiving Jesus' true body and blood with the bread and wine and the Lord's Supper. With the Lord nourishing us with his Easter gospel, assuring us, I am he who was dead and now I'm alive forever. I'm alive to grant you rich supply and to grant you guidance by my eye. Accompanying you to the end of the age, we may truly, as Jesus said to the disciples that night, be at peace. Whatever happens in this broken down, crazy world we live in, if the threat of war doesn't go away, if the economy slows down, if there are tornadoes and mudslides and earthquakes that happen or tremors in our own individual lives, we still know that because of the Lord, all is well. And he will continue to furnish us with the needed stamina, vitality for running our Christian race. And to do as that healed man did in the temple that day, to walk and to jump, not necessarily physically, we might not be able to do that anymore, but spiritually, walking with the Lord and running joyfully in the way of his commandments, knowing that we have in our possession his gift of eternal life. And let's also be reminded, friends, that this refreshment that the Lord gives us by his grace for our souls in such ample supply is something that we are blessed to share with others for their spiritual vitality too. We read in our text Peter's message from Solomon's portico to the crowd listening there. He said, "Now, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive till the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his prophets long ago." This was the Lord's gracious invite to that whole crowd through his spokesman disciple to find salvation through repentance and faith in Christ. Were they responsible for his death? Yes. Did Christ, by his suffering at their hands, fulfill the scriptures that foretold that this would happen? Yes. Were they spiritually beyond hope and recovery, destined to spend an eternity apart from the Lord in hell's misery because of their wicked deed? No. The same refreshment for the spirit, same nourishing message for the soul of the Lord's pardoning grace in Christ was for them too. We're told in the very next chapter, if you read on into chapter 4, that many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of those who were added to the church mushroomed from 3,000 to 5,000. The Lord has given you and me the same privilege as his disciples that day, which we'll be reminded of in a couple weeks at our Mission Fest service up in Cheyenne, that we can always be sure what the hymn writer says, "Lo, many shall come from the east and the west and sit at the feast of salvation with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the blessed, accepting the Lord's invitation." The Lord is always going to use his word, powerful that it is, to supply satisfaction, joy, and peace to numerous souls for which Jesus died. No matter what the goings on in the world are, societal evils multiplying, people trying, probably heard that last week, in their spiritual waywardness to transform Easter from the day to celebrate Jesus coming alive as our Savior, the Savior of the whole world, to a day of visibility for a certain group of people. We can be sure, in spite of all that going on in the world around us, as societal evils, the Lord will continue to use his word to transform people to faith in him, and he will always be visible to his people, seen with Holy Spirit-given eyes, of faith and also seen in the lives that we live for his praise. And then, of course, finally, he will be seen in person, up close. He will be visible to everyone. The last verse of our text, when the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago happens on Judgment Day. Remember what Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. With my own eyes, I will see him, even though my body is destroyed, because the Lord will resurrect me and give me a perfect body when he comes back on the last day, and I will rejoice with him in heaven forever. Till then, friends, let us savor the meal the Lord has prepared for our enjoyment. Let us partake of it often. Let us think of our church as being a eatery for the soul. It's actually, every time you open up your Bible and study it, it's an eatery for the soul. We can say every time we gather here, let us feast this Easter day on Christ, the bread of heaven. His word of grace has purged away the old and evil leaven. Christ alone our souls will feed. He is our meat and drink indeed. Faith lives upon no other. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.